This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Triple Threat Sports Radio 610. Sean Pendergast and Rich Lord with you. We are live at Little Woodrow's in the Heights on a gray, breezy January afternoon here in Houston. There are worse places to be right now than sitting outside at a nice ice house like this. You know, we could be in Kansas City where it's going to be in single digits on Sunday.
It's going to be Arctic, but not quite a blast.
Yeah.
I wanted to say, I met a gentleman here a while ago named Mike who works down the street, and he's a big fan of the show, and said his dad, Michael, was too. And so I wanted to tell Mike it was nice to meet him, and when we're back here, bring your dad, and we'll meet him too. And thank you for your loyalty.
Yeah, we always appreciate people who not just listen to the station but come out to the remotes and tell us how much they enjoy things and how big a part of the day the station is. That pumps us up. Always good to hear it. Always good to hear it from the people. So yes, thank you, Mike, who's still right over there.
Is Mike still here?
He's still right there. Yeah,
good, Mike.
He's right over
good.
There. Rich, you had a question off the text page for John before we get into our topics here.
Yeah, and it's something we've touched on, but the listener specifically wants to know, with the Jaguars, the Chargers, and the Buccaneers being home teams hosting games in London next year and all being teams the Texans travel to next season, how would you gauge the Texans' chances, John, of playing a game in London next year?
Well, they should make the Chargers play there every year so they'd actually have some fans. They might find a couple hundred.
Love you bullying the Chargers, John. They just got their teeth kicked in by the Patriots.
They played there last year against the Titans and beat them when Matt LaFleur had a very questionable call on a two-point conversion.
Oh, you mean Matt LaFleur, the boy genius who's going to be coaching the Packers
next
year?
That's right.
Yeah.
And
just another road game for the Chargers.
It wouldn't be them. I've heard that the Panthers, but the Panthers play here. And I know Bob McNair, who had a lot of influence with the league, always said he'd love to play anywhere, but he wasn't going to give up a home game.
Perfect scenario.
And so he would have to give up a home game. And so Tampa would be better. Jacksonville played 2 years ago against the Colts. You'd think they'd have a division game over there for them every year, considering they play and have a little rivalry going, because most of the games played over there are bad, not close. Chargers and Titans were. So I think, yes, there's a good chance. I hope it's not the Bucs, because I love the Tampa area.
Oh, you want that road game, yeah.
What do you like about Tampa?
I like that it's on the water. I think they got great restaurants. I spent a lot of time over there when they were winning under Tony Dungy. Mm-hmm. It was a great story when I was covering the NFL. I just love everything about it. Except the Rays ballpark in downtown St. Pete, which is a dump and a half.
Pretty bad. Tropicana Field.
Terrible. Yeah. That's the most, you talk about a misnomer to call that field Tropicana.
Yeah.
Like there's something right. Nice about right. It.
Hey, John, have you been to London for a game before?
No.
Would you like to go over for a game?
I sure would, because the Chronicle would be paying for it.
Right.
Yes, I'd be an all-expense-paid vacation.
How long before that game would you go over? Would you leave like the right after the Sunday game, the week before?
I don't know. Whenever the Texans got over there is when I would go. It's interesting to see the philosophies. Some teams go just treat like a road game. You got to do a little advanced publicity, even though the game sells out in a minute. You don't know whether it's going to be at Wembley or Tottenham, the new stadium for the Spurs, and but I've been to London. So it's one of the most expensive cities in the world.
It's ridiculous.
So if I got a chance to go and the Chronicle pick up the tab, I'd love that.
Are you traveling this weekend?
Nope. I'm waiting to go to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I'm just kicking back and watching the games.
Are you going to be with us on Friday on Radio Row in Atlanta?
Sure.
Okay. Just checking. I didn't know if you were. So you stay for the game.
Where are y'all staying at the Hilton?
The American Hotel.
American Hotel.
Yeah.
I'm at the Marriott.
Because America.
Marriott Marquis, which they
Nice humble brag.
And I'm hoping the weather's not ice storm like the last two, so I can walk every day and get exercise.
So you're getting out of your comfort zone. You're going to stay at the Marriott. Huh?
Yeah, I've never been at a Marriott. I'm hoping it's really nice.
Yeah, no, the Marquis, I think, that's their line of motor lodges, right?
It is. I stay there when I go.
Right. Your door faces the outside world.
Yeah, it's not near as nice as our Marquis.
Slime in the ice machine. Yeah, all that stuff. So, John, we talked about Nick Foles in the previous segment and the chances of him possibly ending up in Jacksonville. I guess just with the Texans' best interest in mind, how would you feel about Jacksonville having Nick Foles as their quarterback?
Well, with the Texans' best interest in mind, you did not want Nick Foles at Jacksonville. Foles shows what he's capable of when the Texans blew that game in Philadelphia. If the defense had not stunk it up on that last series, the Eagles would not have been in the playoffs.
Right.
The Texans would have had a first-round bye.
Oh, man.
And think of how different the playoffs could have looked.
That's what's great about the NFL. A play here and a play there, and your fortune changes entirely.
And then I think back, of course, that wasn't the worst loss of the season. The worst loss was that Tennessee game to Blaine Gabbert in the second, which may have been the worst loss of Texas.
Worse than losing to the Giants?
Well, yeah, because Eli played great in that game.
He did,
you know,
actually.
Eli hit everything. All the media afterwards telling me, man, Eli is back. This is going to be a fun season.
God. He's back at like once every
but
year.
But Gabbert did not throw like Eli.
No, Gabbert had training wheels
top
on that
three
whole game.
Offensive tackles out.
Yeah.
Walker done for the season.
Do you think Foles, you think outside of that kind of Philly bubble that he's been in with Doug Peterson and all those weapons, you think he'd be just as good in Jacksonville?
There's a good chance he won't be. Because look at his career, and if it was now.
That's kind of my point. As a Texan fan, I wouldn't mind him signing there because I don't think that much of Nick Foles outside of Philly.
With John DeFilippo there, maybe they'd run the same offense they ran in Philadelphia, and they'd do everything the way Foles would want it.
Yeah.
Of course, you'd rather see Blake Bortles, but Jacksonville's got cap issues. They're going to have to get rid of some big contracts. Denver, which still has a great defense, new coach, new offensive coordinator, I could see John Elway going after Foles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have we asked you about the whole Kubiak split with Denver?
And that was all over who Gary wanted to get the band back together. And his son, Clint, was going to be quarterback coach. He was offensive quality control. He's been under Mike Zimmer as quality control in Minnesota, so they knew him very well. And then Brian Perriani had been out of work since he was fired.
Denver.
When Gary walked away, he got fired, so did Rick Dennison. Rick kept getting jobs, so Gary wanted them back. And they tried to lay it on Vic Fangio. Fangio's a defensive coach. He didn't care about the offense. If you have Kubiak, it's up to Gary. But Elway, from what I was told, you know, he wanted Kubiak to fire those guys, and he didn't want to. And then eventually Gary quit, and they got fired. And so Elway's saying, well, now we fired him once, why do we want him back?
Yeah.
And so now
it's a fair question.
And Perriani and Gary and his son are in Minnesota. Kevin Stefanski, the Minnesota offensive coordinator, had got to be freaking out. Because he gets his first full-time gig as a coordinator after being promoted when DeFilippo was fired. And here comes Gary Kubiak looking over his shoulder.
Right. It's like someone just gave him a house, and they're like, oh, by the way, the Kubiaks are living with you.
That's brutal.
Now, he's going to find out. Gary has no ego. Gary's
and that's the team that fired DeFilippo last year.
Gary's not going to tell him, okay, you got to do this, you got to do that. Gary's there basically to advise and consult and help. And also see if he can help Kirk Cousins improve his 4-25 record against winning teams. I tell you what, I'm glad if you're a Texans fan that Mike Vrabel didn't hire Kubiak. They still need an offensive coordinator in Tennessee.
Yeah, and Mariota might have been a decent fit for what Gary likes to do, getting the rollouts and everything.
He would have fit well, and they've kept that really quiet up there.
Yeah,
I've heard Mark Helfrich, who was his coach at Oregon, Mario's coach at Oregon. He's with the Bears. Possibility, Chip Kelly, who's bombed out at UCLA. He could be a possibility, but Vrabel has kept a lid on whatever they're doing. And I don't – quarterback coach Pat O'Hara, who was here and very highly thought of, but if he was going to promote Pat, it seems like he would have done it. I'm thinking, since it's been totally quiet in Tennessee, Mike's got his eye on somebody that's still playing. Maybe somebody knows with the Patriots.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if Kubiak can't get what they're looking for out of Cousins, I don't know. I'm not saying Cousins is unsalvageable. Like, you can start Kirk Cousins. But right. Like you said, John, he just doesn't win big games. He's very inconsistent. And Gary got the best you ever got out of Matt Schaub. Joe Flacco's one good year since winning the Super Bowl. The one good year he's had was when Gary Kubiak was there in 2014. If I'm a Minnesota fan, I'm almost feeling like, God, this Stefanski guy. I mean, I kind of hope Gary stages some sort of coup and gets in there. And
hey, early on, he was the only one who
plugs his offense in.
Early on, he was the only one who believed in Case Keenum, that's for sure.
And if they win, he's going to get the credit.
Gary?
Stefanski.
Oh, of course.
But you guys know, Gary doesn't have an ego. I'm happy he wanted to come back to work. It's so strange. Thursday of last week, he was the coordinator in Denver.
It's weird.
And then on Friday afternoon, he was out of the organization totally. He and Rhonda love Denver. Two of their kids were in Denver. They love the Broncos, the fans. Gary is treated like a rock star up there. And now he's in Minneapolis.
That's a weird hill to die on, that they won't let him hire Brian Perriani. He loves Denver that much, and they won't let him hire a guy who's been unemployed for, and Rick Dennison. Like, that's, you love that city that much. Like, I mean, that's, I get it. Like, I admire the loyalty.
Loyalty's huge for him. Always has been.
I get it, but that's, I mean, you're talking about your quality of life and where you live and whatnot. That's crazy.
There was a column written by Mike Kliss of the Denver Post, just ripping Gary a new one, saying good riddance, you know, his offense is outdated. You know, times have changed. Yeah. The Broncos need the new era offense. And I felt bad for Kubiak. He didn't do anything. Had he won a Super Bowl, coached one more year and left, I don't think he deserved that kind of treatment.
Will Elway always walk on water in that town?
No,
because he's not doing a very good job right now.
Criticism from fans and media, and he's very honest with his assessment of what he's done, and he knows it. But would the owner, Pat Bowlen, you know, he's in a facility. He doesn't have anything to do with the franchise. They have a four-person board, including Joe Ellis, a really respected guy who runs the franchise. He would have to pull the plug on Elway, and that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Is Case going to be their starting quarterback next year?
Not if they can help it. I think Case has 1 year left on his
contract. They owe him $7 million.
And I would want, if I drafted, say they traded up to get Dwayne Haskins or Will Greer, the guy from Duke, I would want Case working with that guy. Case is like an extra coach. He's not going to do anything but help and give us all. There's no way they should let Case Keenum get out of Denver, whether it's he's reunited with Nick Foles.
Yeah.
They're good friends from the Rams.
That's a lot of money to spend on two quarterbacks.
Case, there's no way Case.
Well, but I believe they paid him $18 million this year, and next year it's $7
million. Well,
right?
Seven's the only guaranteed money left,
right.
But his salary is like $18 million again.
Right, right.
They'd have to go to him and say, hey, we're going to give you a pay cut.
Right, but regardless of money, he does feel like the perfect bridge guy that could be there to help a rookie along in his first year.
Yep, or he could work with a veteran, but I'm told they want a veteran and a rookie.
What do you mean?
They want to draft somebody and they want to sign a veteran.
Okay, and have Case there too.
It makes no sense.
Yeah,
because they already got a veteran in Case.
Right,
and somehow they let Paxton Lynch get to Seattle, huh?
Yeah, it's amazing. I'll tell you something really bothers me. Elway basically blamed that on Kubiak. He was doing an interview, and I read it twice. And he said when he was talking about the bad job he'd done on quarterbacks, he said, "Yep, you know Gary was on board with that." And Gary this, and then Gary got sick, and system changed, and Gary.
John, where do you think Kyler Murray? I know it's early, and he's got to do the combine and everything like that. If you had to take a guess right now, about where do you think Kyler Murray? I'm not saying lands specifically as a city. Do you think he winds up being a high first rounder,
no.
Middle first rounder, first rounder at all?
The NFL is not getting smaller. I keep seeing people comparing him to Breeze and Mayfield. Mayfield was 6 foot and 5/8. Breeze was 6 foot and a quarter. Michael Vick was 6 foot. And the only quarterback who's done anything is Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson's is
below 6 feet, you're saying.
Yeah, 5'10" and maybe a quarter. And I'm wondering if Kyler Murray will be at the combine. When he steps up to be measured, mm-hmm. All eyes will be waiting for that guy call it out.
My money's on 5'8".
I remember if he is not.
Guarantee you there's a prop
bet
out there.
If he's not 5'9 and a half, at least he ain't going in the first round.
No chance.
I
he's 5'9 and a half.
Anyway, if you're that. And also, a lot of people still think Scott Boras is behind all this to get more money out of baseball. You can't play baseball and be a quarterback in the NFL. And if you draft him, you have to know ahead of time he's actually going to sign the contract. You lose his rights in a year. How much mud would you have on your face if you drafted him and he went to baseball and you were stuck and you lose the number one pick?
Right. Well, to me, the key date is February 15th because that's the date he would have to report to A's training camp or to A's spring training. And the talk was that Major League Baseball was going to let the A's have an exception to give him more money and make him part of the 40-man roster because of this quote-unquote unique situation of football now being in his life. It's clear Major League Baseball, John, wants a victory over the NFL when it comes to keeping a guy like this in their employ. I have no idea if Kyler Murray's going to be a good baseball player. I think NFL scouts, the ones that Charles Robinson from Yahoo talked to, think that baseball, that the odds are Kyler Murray's probably going to fail at baseball as opposed to succeeding at baseball. But to me, that's the next key date is February 15th because that's the we have from now until then for baseball to pony up. And if they pony up, he can always just say, all right, I'm going to baseball. And then teams, he may be eligible for the draft, but teams don't have to draft him. They can draft him with a six-round pick and just hope that maybe they can convince him to play football,
before
something
he,
like that.
Before he transferred, he played baseball in A&M, did not hit 300.
Yep.
All right. And he can run like crazy. And, you know, there are a few small good players in baseball,
yeah,
like Altuve and Calhoun, but how many guys in baseball are 5'8 or less who are really good out of all the baseball players?
Right.
That is a small percentage and an even worse percentage. Now, if he gets up there and he checks in at 5'10, then everybody's going to be happy. But remember, I was stunned one time, and I should have known this. I saw a couple of Baylor guys when they were with NBA teams. They grew by 2 inches from when they were Baylor. And then I find out they measured them in tennis shoes at the combine.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, well, why didn't football do that, considering they don't play barefooted?
Right.
That just makes so much sense.
Well, regardless of how much extra cash baseball may be able to pony up to convince him to become a baseball player, realistically, he's probably not a big leaguer until 2020 at the earliest. And you know, the whole 6 years of control, he's not going to be entitled to anything more than the minimum for a few years. I mean, we talk about Alex Bregman in comparison, and he was on such a fast track. Alex Bregman still played in over 200 minor league games before he became a fixture.
He's not a free agent
until
2023 or something
right.
like that.
Nope, yeah. Nobody's going to be snapping their fingers, and Kyler Murray's going to be instantly a big leaguer.
Right.
So his patience, I think, is a factor in this whole thing as well.
He can make more money over the next 3 or 4 years by far in the NFL than he can baseball.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.